Here we are again, guys.
Hi.
Hello there. Episode 3.
I have kind of a funny story.
What's that?
Okay, so I don't know if this ever happens to you, Eric. I'm sure that it happens to you, where you're recognized from being on Discover Wisconsin. And every time for me, I'm caught off guard. Every time. It's like I forget what I do. Well, anyway, I'm at Quick Trip in the liquor beer department.
Shocker.
I'm on the phone with my boyfriend trying to figure out what I was supposed to get. And I think Goose Island was on sale. And so I was going back and forth with him, like, you know, that's a big debate, figuring out your Friday night, like, what am I going to get? Well, I literally had like 4 6-packs in my hand. I was struggling majorly and I felt that someone was behind me, but I didn't think much of it. I'm on the phone for like a solid 4 or 5 minutes. Finally got off the phone. I'm like carrying all this beer and I turn around. This guy's like, hey, I don't want to be, you know, weird or rude, but I just wanted to say I love your show. It was very, very sweet. But I'm like, why does it have to happen every time someone compliments me on the show, which is obviously the biggest. I mean, it's such a joy for people to be able to recognize the work you do day in day out. It's something I don't take for granted, but it's always when I'm in the like weirdest situations. I literally had all this beer in my hand and I was like, oh, thank you. Thanks for watching the show. I swear, like, I don't have a problem. This is just like Friday night ritual.
You will get it's amazing how many people watch this show.
It is. Yeah.
And people, gas station, wherever, if somebody's just kind of staring at you, you can't be all New Yorker and go, what are you looking at?
Yeah.
You can't, because you realize that person might recognize, and sure enough.
Yes.
So it's pretty cool, though.
It is cool.
They're like, well, I don't recognize you not eating cheese curds, but I realized that was you.
Or to me, I don't know what they say to you, but it's always on my height. They'll be like, you look tall.
I don't get that.
But it's not consistent. It'll be either you look shorter or you look taller. And it's never like a consistent, it's always like someone comments on my height, but never on the same side of it. So I'm like, I don't know. Or they'll say, you look different in person. And I'm like,
then how'd they recognize you?
Thanks, question mark.
Right? Yeah.
I don't know.
Once in a while I get, so where's Mariah?
Yeah, we travel together constantly. I'm sure people have seen that.
So Mariah, how tall are you?
I'm 5'6", but I do wear heels.
I wear heeled
boots quite a bit. So yeah, I don't know I don't know what it is, but I never know how to take that comment when people say that.
See, I'm 5'10", but I slouch, so you know, that'll be...
What do we have on the podcast today, Eric?
Well, Mariah Haberman, I'm Eric Paulson. We have Audio Dave with us here. And today we are going to be...
And Ellen.
She's our awesome...
Say hi, Ellen.
...marketing guru slash producer.
Hey. Checking in for her 5 words of the week.
Yes, indeed. We're going to be talking about great hiking trails today.
Yes, I love this conversation.
That will be our campfire conversation. Mm-hmm. And we are going to be talking about an upcoming episode...
We'll tell you that it's in Rock County, but we won't say which city yet.
Oh, okay.
Unless it's in the headline. Unless it's in the headline of this podcast episode, in which case.
Hopefully you all closed your eyes and hit play.
There we go. All right, let's get down to business. The Cabin is presented by the Wisconsin Counties Association, and this week we're featuring Rock County. Now, Rock County was created in 1836 as a territorial county and is named for the Rock River, which bisects the county from north to south, right through Janesville and Beloit, too. Now, following the 2010 census, the population was more than 160,000 people, and with the 2020 census, it's growing down there. That number will rise. So I know last week we said we'd be joined by one of the sons.
Wait.
What?
I have something to say.
Okay.
You want to know something else about Rock County?
Oh, you're from there.
You spoiled it.
Rewind the tape.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, Mariah. Start over. Sorry, Mariah. Go ahead. Start over.
Wait, hello. Did you get that awesome sound effect? You can't let that just glaze right
over. Not only do
right
I work with sound effects, I'm made of sound effects.
Oh, that was great. Yeah, I was going to tell you that I heard people from Rock County are extra smart and extra cool.
But you're from there.
Burn. Yeah, it's a pretty cool place to grow up.
Yeah, Evansville, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So Rock County, particularly proud that Mariah Haberman is from there.
Thanks, Rock County.
Yeah.
So I know last week we said we'd be joined by one of the sons of Discover Wisconsin founder, Dick Rose. But hey, things change. And Rick Rose will actually be joining us next week. So for today's campfire conversation, we're kicking things off by covering our favorite hiking paths across the state.
Yes.
Now, the recommendation for this segment actually came from one of our Around the Campfire group members, Amy Jost.
Oh, I love this recommendation.
It's a great recommendation.
Thank you, Amy.
Make sure you join our Facebook group, too, and let us know what topics you want to hear about. So let's get talking about these trails.
I love it. This is a good one.
Absolutely.
I was excited to see this.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, there are so many great trails all across the state.
Mm-hmm.
And shall we start with Devil's Lake, which has some of the most awesome picture-taking opportunities?
That's pretty, I think we've got to start with an iconic spot like Devil's Lake.
Right between Baraboo and the Wisconsin River, it is a place to go if you want to feel like you're out west.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, there's not a bad view at that park.
Mm-mm.
I don't think.
And there's a lot of, if you love like the exposed rocks, you can climb and get these huge vista views from. That lake looks awesome. The landscape you could see for so many miles.
There are over 29 miles of hiking trails there. And the one I think, I might have to get fact checked on this, but the one that I think is most popular that kind of gets you the best views of the lake is the East Bluff Trail. And the only reason I'm remembering this is because, all state parks are dog friendly as long as you have your dogs on a leash. And I brought Josie, my very spunky golden doodle, to Devil's Lake. And it was very stressful bringing her on the East Bluff Trail.
She make it all the way up?
She did, but she's very social. And that's a busy, busy trail. So if you want the best views, like that probably is going to be my recommendation for you. But please note that you're going to probably run into people, especially if it's on a Saturday or a Sunday. And if you've got a dog, especially one like mine, I love bringing my dog to Devil's Lake. But my recommendation would be to pick a lesser known trail.
Within Devil's Lake State Park.
Within Devil's Lake State Park, yeah. Because, yeah, she stopped and had to meet every single person and dog there. It was a lot. And that's a tricky trail. That is. Like, there's a lot of climbing you do. It's pretty, I don't know if they have it marked as difficult, but I would venture to guess it should probably be marked, like, that should probably be categorized as a more difficult trail because the terrain is super rocky and you're tired by the time you get to the top.
Yeah.
I was going to say my favorite part of hiking that trail is bringing people who haven't hiked it before. And about halfway up, they start to think you're playing a practical joke on them. Just like, seriously, more stairs?
It's kind of mean there, Audio Dave.
He's savage. Right. The other popular spot/trail at Devil's Lake is the Devil's Doorway Trail. Mm-hmm. If you think of an iconic photo of Devil's Lake, I mean, you think of that iconic rock formation. It looks like a doorway itself.
It does.
Really
and
cool.
The views through the door and all the way around it are just absolutely fantastic. And that's where it gets busy, too. People standing around with their phones taking picture after picture constantly.
Don't carve a thing into that rock or I will hunt you down personally.
So really, kind of the lesson is Devil's Lake is not a get-away-from-it-all hiking trail, but it is a very fun hiking trail. It's very beautiful, and particularly if you bring your pooch, it's a very social trail.
Yeah, if you have people coming in from, like, who aren't very familiar with Wisconsin, that is one of my first suggestions. Mm-hmm. If you want to avoid crowds, we've got some different suggestions for you on our list.
For example, there's a really, really long trail in Wisconsin called the Ice Age Trail.
Oh, yeah.
And we've actually done an episode or two on
four.
The Ice Age Trail. Oh, four.
Mm-hmm.
Or four, sure.
Episode of two or four, yeah.
Now, the Ice Age Trail, about 1,100 miles within the state, if my memory serves.
You're right.
And it basically forms almost kind of a horseshoe shape.
It does.
In the state.
Yep. It kind of looks like a weirdly shaped U, throughout the whole state.
And it's basically kind of marking the spot where the glaciers pushed everything when they came down from up north. Kind of where everything got piled up, and that's why it kind of goes around the edges of the Driftless area, goes down into southern Wisconsin quite a bit, and then it
Rock
loops
County,
back
as a matter
up.
Of fact.
It does go through Rock County. Did you know Mariah's from Rock County?
They do know.
Thanks, Rock County.
It's like marketing. Yeah. You have to say something two or three times before people remember. And so the trail itself, there's an alliance, the Ice Age Trail Alliance. They do an amazing job.
Mm-hmm. They really do. The volunteer work that goes into the Ice Age Trail is amazing. Like the people that put in the work to maintain the trails, to build the little, the bridges, to make it as accessible as possible. Very accessible trail in general. I've always thought that the Ice Age Trail is kind of like the vein of Wisconsin. Like when you look at a map and you see that trail does go through so much of the state, you know, and such, as you pointed out, very different parts of the state. You know, mm-hmm. the Ice Age Trail up in northwest Wisconsin versus down in Rock County and Whitewater. And then up in the peninsula in Door County, just the views itself are just drastically different. I love it.
Well, you can be in the North Woods. You can be on the edge of the Driftless. And then, yeah, it does go through Whitewater, for example. We've done a recent episode on Whitewater, and the trail goes right through there. It goes through Lake Country between Milwaukee and Madison, right through some suburbs, and you go along rivers and right through the hearts of some of these small towns and then up into Door County. And so you really do get a great cross-section of the state.
There are some people who have actually, I know you know this, who have ran the whole thing. And then they'll end up in, I think they start up in northwest Wisconsin, end up in Door County Camp along the way, I believe. And like there's a certain restaurant I think they come to at the very end in Door County, or at least I remember this one woman's story. And like everyone, like they're waiting for the runners to arrive and they all clap for them. And oh man, I could never do that.
Like, so they run 1,100 miles?
Not in a row, but I mean,
right.
but like they will, some of them, they'll run it and camp and then run, like they will go on it. I don't know how long it takes them.
Yeah. And there's people who like try to break the record. They train up so they can in one chunk of time, try to beat the fastest time. And I would love to know what that time is.
I got it. Thank you, Google. Okay. Annie Weiss is a talented runner. Incredible woman just set a new record for running the entire Ice Age Trail. It says 1200 miles here. So we might stand corrected. I need guesses is how long it took her to do 1,200 miles.
4 years.
3 months.
21 days, 18 hours, and 7 minutes, beating the women's record by 14 days and the men's record by 11 hours, 53 minutes. She's 33 from Milwaukee. That was in 2018.
Holy cats.
That's crazy. Wow. That's nuts.
Well, so, if we ever get Teddy in the studio here.
Oh, yeah.
We should have him talk about this as well, because I know his friend is training for
totally
this race.
Totally into that. That's our lead cinematographer. Yeah, he's a really good runner.
So
he should
about
do this.
350 to 380 miles a week. So that means that's more than a marathon a day by a hefty margin.
Yeah, that's...
Wow.
That's just nuts.
That's crazy.
Humans.
I know. Yeah.
Wow, all right. I hope she took in enough calories because that takes... I've run a marathon once.
You did?
And that, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah, I was 29.
You.
You know,
last year?
Nice. Where's the little...
The year started with a two, but barely. That's how long ago it was. Yeah, I ran Chicago one time and it was great, but...
I did a 5K for the show and was winded.
I ran a mile in gym class once.
Nice.
You're in far better shape than I, Mariah. Come on.
Your shape has nothing to do with it, in my opinion. I think, I mean, it does have something to do with it. I don't want to say it doesn't. But I've always, like, when you do, back in school, when we do, like, the Presidential Fitness Awards or whatever they're called, nothing was a problem for me except for the mile. I just remember getting so nervous. I have terrible endurance. Terrible. I run a lot, but I have to like stop and then go. And I call it interval running.
That's how I do it now. Yeah, you call it interval training. You're in great shape.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm interval running. That's what it is.
That's perfect for hiking now, whether you're doing the Ice Age Trail or something smaller like in Devil's Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you go up to the North Country, the Juniper Rock Overlook.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Okay, a total. I don't want to overuse the phrase hidden gem on this podcast. I promised myself I wouldn't, but
need
come
a sound
on.
Effect for it
we do. A little like pretty little chime thing.
Yeah.
Every time we say hidden gem, I love it. Yeah, but this one, everyone, I have a hidden gem for you.
Hidden gem alert.
So it is so gorgeous. It's not too long of a hike. We filmed it in our Silent Sports episode. So it's not too far out of the Cable area. And gosh, it was just, I don't even think we went like a half mile in. And then suddenly you get up onto this rock, Juniper Rock itself, and it's one of those kind of end destinations of a hiking trail that it totally opens up. And it's just, it's stunning.
Now, I haven't been to it. Where exactly is it?
So it's in Bayfield County.
Okay.
It's outside of Cable in the town of, give me a ticking clock time.
You're talking more around Drummond?
Hold on, Juniper.
Not too far from Delta Diner, sure, maybe?
Grandview.
Nope.
Oh, Grandview. Well, that's a good name for it.
Grandview. Yeah. Grandview, Wisconsin. I don't even know if that's a incorporated town or not. But yes, it's in Grandview. Like I said, not too far from Cable. And I want to verify right now that that is for sure in Bayfield County. I'm 99. Yes, it is. Okay. So, yeah, it is. And that's right on the North Country Scenic Trail. So I don't think a lot of people realize we have a national trail that runs through northern Wisconsin. So people will hike in through the North Country Scenic Trail. I believe it, I don't know where, it starts out west and ends, and I think in New York?
Well, Audio South Dave, when I walked into Audio Dave's sound booth.
We're just really leaning into that nickname.
And he just had.
I love it.
I'm going to keep calling you that.
All right, that's fine.
I got like six other nicknames for you.
All right.
Four of which you don't even know
I'm
about.
I'm okay with this one.
Okay. So, yeah, you had a map of it up.
Yeah, because I had not really heard much about this. So I was trying to look up the history and everything. What is it? Starting South Dakota.
North Dakota.
North Dakota goes all the way to.
Is it Maine?
Vermont.
Oh, Vermont.
Yeah, it was kind of the New York Vermont border according to that map. So
yeah, and so it started in 1980, and they're still working on it. I don't think all the parts are connected yet, but it looks pretty cool. I want to at least hike a portion of it because it's substantial.
I know. It's amazing, and I don't think it's a national trail. Like, I mean, it doesn't get nearly as much attention as, say, the PCT and other, you know, big trails in America. But really interesting terrain. Like, I've only done the part of that trail I've only done is the Grandview area in Wisconsin. But when you look at a map and you see where it goes in Wisconsin, it traces basically the kind of the northern border and gets into the UP of Michigan. So it's got to be beautiful.
Absolutely gorgeous up there. Now, Gibraltar Rock State Natural Area is cool.
Yes. Have you been?
I've been to the Gibraltar town in Door County. Yeah. Is this?
This is different.
Where is this?
So this is in Lodi.
This
is, so this is a park. I don't know the big difference between state parks and state natural areas and county parks. Someone will probably educate me in the comment section of this.
They will now.
But I've always thought, gosh, this one, like, feels like it deserves to be a state park. It's really beautiful. You climb up to what they call Gibraltar Rock. You get to the top of it. And if you guys look up pictures of this, it's just so much different from any other big view in Wisconsin. You see those big, are you looking at the pictures?
I'm looking at it right now.
I think
I did not know this was a half hour away from me.
I know. It's so close to Madison. I always tell people.
It's in Dane County.
Yeah. It's in Dane County. So this is also like a little Instagram darling of a destination. You see a lot of people posting their selfies, and they're actually like engagement pictures too. Like, it's a big photography hotspot. So if you're into photography at all, you are going to love it. Kind of has Dells vibes with kind of that, I think, sandstone cliff looking area here.
Sure does. Dave just showed me a picture of it. Mm-hmm. Now it's, I'm sorry, Audio Dave just showed me a picture of it. And, but it does look like the Dells and some of that exposed sandstone, but it's near the Wisconsin River and Lodi. I mean, the Ice Age Trail goes through there. So that's all kind of,
I was just going to say, like, it's kind of funny how it's connected to the Ice Age Trail. But the geology in general, that Niagara Escarpment that you kind of see when you're climbing up there is just so, and the trees are interesting. I don't know. I want to look up to see what kind they are, but there's some like iconic photos of Gibraltar Rock State Natural Area where the trees look. Yeah. How do you describe that? Like, they look
kind of helix shaped.
Yeah.
They
look like what
right
you'd
outside.
See up in Africa or something.
Yeah.
Like, they look very exotic.
We'll have to post some pictures of
we
that.
We should post pictures. Yeah. They're really hard to put into words, but it's just a very, it's
don't
a
Google
unique
while you're
park.
In the car if you're listening to this in the car.
Don't do that.
Now, for another incredible view and overlook, we've got to go near the Mississippi River and talk about Granddad's Bluff.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's not an extensive trail system in Granddad's Bluff, but where the trail will take you is to one of the best views, not just in the state, but in the Midwest.
Yes. So pretty.
From there, you get a beautiful overlook. If you've been to La Crosse, you've seen Granddad's Bluff in all likelihood. It frames the city to the east. There's a flag on top. There's a lookout area there at the end of the trail that you walk down. And you are about 550 to 600 feet above average terrain, which means you're about 1,300 feet above sea level at that point. You could see all of La Crosse. It just spreads out to you. Like, if you're in L.A. and you're up on Mulholland Drive and you see the whole city below, it's kind of like that with La Crosse. It's just not as big.
Wisconsin's version,
But you could see, you know, of course, across the river, Minnesota. And then you can even see southwest into Iowa because you're so high up. Your view's a good 30-plus miles.
And I know this is about hiking trails, but I want to mention that the cool thing about Granddad's Bluff is that if you've got anyone with you or maybe you yourself who needs a little bit more of an accessible trail, this is a great spot because you can literally drive right up to the top. So if you want exercise, you can get that. There are trails that will get you there. But it's also great for people who maybe aren't, you know, that don't have the athleticism or maybe they have a little bit of a disability and it's a little harder for them to get around. This is a great spot.
Yeah, it's one of the easiest. It's got this cool little paved walkway. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's one of the easiest access points. And Ellen over here went to La Crosse, right?
I did. I went to UW La Crosse for school. Yeah, it's a very, it's a popular hike. It's a good drive up too if you're not into the hike. Yeah. But sure. There's a lot of hiking in the surrounding area too.
It's very popular. Yeah, and that's a good, I want to mention that too, because similar to Devil's Lake, I remember I was surprised by how many people were at Granddad's Bluff. And I actually brought Josie to that same location. And she said hi to everybody. And they have cool little historic like info booths up at Granddad's Bluff.
Yeah, there's a lot to read up there. Yeah. Which is cool. And then if you're just down from where the top is, the Alpine Inn is a fun place to stop. Grab a beverage and a sandwich, and you really feel like you're in the mountains at that point. It really kind of has that sensation. When you go up that street, what's the name of that street, Ellen, that you wind up?
Gosh, I don't know.
Okay, well.
It's a great place to take your graduation pictures.
It absolutely is. Just, you follow one of the main roads east out of downtown La Crosse, and you can just kind of feel your way to it, and one of the roads just winds up, and it literally... It's one of those zigzag round and round roads where you feel like you're in the mountains. And you get a lot of that in the western end of the state.
You do. Man, so. I could talk about hiking trails all day.
But we're running out of time.
I know. I'm ready for some warm weather. Yes. I want to blog about this because I don't know that I've written any articles on hiking trails. So please be on me about getting something on the bobber. I'm regularly referencing things we share on Discover Wisconsin's official blog, The Bobber. We are known for covering cool Wisconsin places, but we also blog about different health initiatives that can positively impact Wisconsinites. In fact, this month, there's an article I read called Why Lifestyle Matters to Our Long-Term Health. It kind of talks about how your genetics play a role in your health, yes, but so does your lifestyle. It's pretty interesting, actually. It's brought to you by Group Health Trust, a resource for assisting Wisconsin counties, local units of government and school districts in fulfilling their employee healthcare obligations. You can read that article I'm talking about at bobber.discoverwisconsin.com.
All right, all right, all right. It's time to go behind the scenes of Discover Wisconsin. And we're joined by Discover Wisconsin producer Jessica Murphy to talk about this weekend's new episode. And where are we going this weekend?
We are going to Beloit.
All right.
Ooh. Yes.
First of all,
the southern end of the state.
Welcome.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Jess. Good to see you. Yes.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
What do you think of the cabin? What do you think?
I like it.
You like the vibes?
Yes, I do.
You like the taxidermy?
It's cozy.
What do you like better, the fish or the bear? Up on the wall.
I would say the fish, I guess.
Is the bear wearing a hat?
Bears.
Yeah. He's stylish.
Don't they normally?
Yeah.
Depends where they got it from.
No, he's rocking a Into the Outdoors hat, actually.
Oh, very nice, very nice. Oh. Yep. Yeah, and Beloit's on the border of Bear Country, too. I mean, you can't get any further south in the state than Beloit.
That is true.
And there is a lot of cool stuff there.
Yes, there is. This is our second time going to Beloit in a few years. I did a Beloit episode a few seasons ago, so it was really fun to go back. And as much as we covered in the first episode, we didn't repeat anything. It's all new stuff.
That's
here.
Crazy. Yeah. Just because you're in a unique position in that you've now produced, you know, an episode on the same destination, like how did this one feel different from the first one?
It's completely different. We do all new stuff. You know, a lot of people say, you know, don't you run out of places to go in the state? And I'm like, no, not really.
Yeah.
So they had a lot of new places. And then they have, there were some things that we just didn't have time to cover in the last one.
Well, downtown Beloit is just booming right now.
Totally is.
I mean, it is just bulging with restaurants and shops and bars and boutique hotels.
Yes.
And there's so much activity along the river.
Yeah.
So I know there was a lot going on down there.
Yeah. So a common theme in the Beloit show is if you haven't been there in a few years, you've got to see it now because a lot of people have an idea of what Beloit is in their head, and it's really doesn't come close to what it looks like now. It's really undergone kind of a renaissance in downtown. You can really see it. Lots of new restaurants, like you mentioned, hotels, bars, events, the Ironworks campus right near downtown is really beautiful. Some really cool businesses in there.
They've done a really good job retrofitting that, like the old ironworks plant. Mm-hmm. And some of the old buildings, there's a great Art Deco building. I think it's on State Street right by downtown. Mm. And the block south of there, I mean, there's all sorts of great places to check out and go. And having Beloit College right there helps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It keeps it vibrant with the college.
It's one of the most interesting cities in this state to me right now, just because of, I think, people's perception of it. I'm sure you've dealt with this, Jess, where one of us will mention we're filming in Beloit, we're doing a show there, and we get some interesting responses. Like, people just think they know Beloit.
And then I get really defensive.
Yeah, so do I. I feel like it's like my child
or
something.
You don't
even know. You have no idea. Yeah,
well, Mariah's from Rock County.
Right, yeah.
So,
that's the theme.
We just need to mention it in every single segment.
Can that be the title of this episode? Mariah's from Rock County.
Did you know?
But yes, I was going to bring up the fact I'm from Rock County. We're joking because this got brought up like three different times.
Yeah.
But that is relevant because I grew up, I would go to Beloit pretty regularly for sports. We'd play their school. And it's just, to me, unrecognizable almost when I go there now. Mm-hmm. That downtown didn't look anything like it does now. To be honest, it was a city you kind of avoided. And to see what they've done over the last decade is mind-blowing. I mean, it truly is. It's mind-blowing. Like, you go through and you're like, wow, it's amazing. Obviously, you can't do the show or talk about the renovation without talking about Diane Hendricks. And a lot of people are aware she's kind of been a huge ambassador for the city of Beloit. And I know a lot of the locals have also pitched in and been very vocal, too, in a great way. And that was one of my favorite parts of the shows, too, is just talking to some of the locals, some of the business owners, about their perspective on the transformation and kind of how, it's not all about what she's done as a business owner in Beloit, but the whole community has kind of rallied around that idea of Beloit has something here. We believe in this city. What can we do to show the rest of the state, the rest of the, the rest of the Midwest or the country that this is a city worth visiting, worth investing in? It's just, I've been very intrigued by, and fascinated by everything that they've done in that city.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not just restaurants. We went to some great ones, Velvet Buffalo Cafe, Trucked, amazing tacos. But it's also the events that they're holding downtown. They're really into the arts. They have the Beloit International Film Festival, of course, coming
Which
up
is this
month.
Week.
Still on my bucket list. Oh, this week, yes.
And it lasts for like, a week and a half?
It's 10 days.
Wow. 10 days?
Yep, at the end of February. And so we feature that in the show. That was really fun.
Yep. So this is kind of funny, too. A lot of people ask me, have you ever said no to a shoot? Have you ever turned down a shoot? And I've only done it on two occasions to date. It's 7 years on this job. And the first time I got asked to artificially inseminate a cow, I said no.
Wait, what?
Uh-huh. I literally, it was a serious question. and then didn't think that's going to get cut from the podcast probably.
Conversation for another time.
And then the second one, I think I'm quoting the right thing, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Jess asked if I would skydive. And I'm a pretty adventurous person, but I went bungee jumping in New Zealand when I was in college, and that was like the end of my adrenaline journey. So when you very politely asked if I'd be up for it, I was like, I think I'm going to pass the buck on this one
and assign it. Okay, no problem.
Yeah,
I asked all
else.
The hosts.
Did
Eric, you said
you
no.
asked me too, Jess. I was a tentative no, and I was thinking about it.
Yeah.
But it never came
up
again in conversation.
I could tell that you weren't crazy about the idea, and I did not want anyone to do it unless they were 100% on board.
I just wouldn't want it to be my final episode,
Yeah.
And be filmed and recorded, like, ugh, God, people would have footage of that.
Yeah, I had a lot of anxiety about that shoot.
And then
my palms get sweaty, honestly, just thinking about it. Yeah.
When I was mixing that episode, I started watching through it when it got to my desk, and when it got to that point, I was just like, nope, 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 nope.
Yeah. Marie Justice ended up doing it.
Yeah.
And the first time that we went to go do it, we canceled it because it was too windy. And so then we had to go back and do it again. And I don't know how she did it. And
she's afraid of heights, she says.
Yeah. She claims. I'm like,
There's no way.
She seemed pretty calm throughout.
She did seem calm, I thought.
And afterwards, she's just all smiles.
Yeah,
and
she
honestly, seeing her reaction after the fact made me go, okay, Maybe I could do that. Maybe that could be fun.
That seems to be the common theme after you're done with, I mean, yeah, because you just, you survived. You're good.
Once you accomplished it, it's great.
I know it's so safe these days. Like, it's not, you know, that big of a deal. But just the idea of free falling for even more than a second, to me, it's like, and the whole jumping out of the plane concept, I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, so not I remember, for me.
Quick aside, I remember doing a climbing tower outdoors where you're 70 feet up and I had a little tiny rope attached to me and I had to slide my butt off from the top and let the rope, like, lure me down. That seemed counterintuitive, being in a plane, you know, however many thousand feet up.
Jumping out of it.
Yeah. No. Our videographer, Teddy, was in the plane with her, and he said that when that door opens, it's just like there's something in you that's like, this is not supposed to happen.
No.
The door should not be open right now.
Right. Yeah. Did they strap him in, I assume? I'd be like, put me in a car seat.
They must have.
They had to have done something. Yeah, we're going to have to ask him.
So. I'm trying to picture Teddy in a car seat. Okay, but we digress.
Anyway.
Back to everything else in Beloit. And by the way, shout out to Lucy's number 7 burger bar, too, downtown. And also, even on the edge of town, first of all, you can see the world's largest can of chili right along the interstate.
Oh, the Hormel.
For $39.90 and $43 come together.
At first I was like, what are you
talking about? It's a big Hormel tank, and it's filled with chili. And then right across on the other side, G5 Brewing, which is new this year. New brewery. It's really cool, and it's kind of up on a hill, and you can look towards Beloit, just over the river. And there's another brewery opening up in the downtown area, because Stacy from Beloit CVB was telling me about it.
Yeah, and I should probably mention that we went skydiving with Skydive the Rock. They were the... That was the company that we went with.
And they were excellent.
Yes, they were wonderful.
As we all are, I'm sure they made it a very awesome experience.
We're giant chickens, they were wonderful. But they looked awesome.
You know, chickens can't fly, so they skydive too.
Yeah, so. True. So on the food and beverage run, I want to chat about Trucked for just a second.
Sure,
because that was a really cool, another place that's downtown Beloit. Mm-hmm. I'd never been there until we filmed the show, and they're known for their tacos.
Yes.
Probably the prettiest tacos I've ever seen. I think I say on camera, they're like little works of art. You, like, you almost don't want to eat them, but they smell so, they were really amazing.
They were delicious.
They can't also turn down tacos.
Well, they're like, if you're into Instagramming your food, this is like a place you want to go because it's so colorful and like, they're just, they're pretty.
Yeah.
They're so pretty.
Yeah, really cool place too. They have like the walls that go up so the air comes in.
And very trendy.
Beautiful.
Nice.
Yeah, and then there's a coffee shop right next door, which is fun. So, What else did we do in Beloit? What was your favorite part of the Beloit show?
One of my favorite shoots was at Ironworks Golf Lab, which I had no idea what to expect. I've never been to a place like this, but basically it's virtual kind of reality meets golf. You hit the golf ball into a screen and the courses are very realistic and gives you all kinds of stats about your swing. And
I have talked to so many people about this place because I have quite a few golfers in my family. My brother's an avid golfer. And I think I talk about this in the segment as well. But in the world of golf, everybody has an opinion and a tip for you on how you can better your swing. And what I love that they said to me is one tip for you is not going to work for me. Like, it's totally different. You know, we all have different flaws in our golf game. So that was so interesting to me that you literally have math and science on the screen showing you exactly how you swing and where you're going wrong. And I learned that my swing is good until I get to the ball, and then I do this weird thing where I turn my the important part.
It's kind of
and then I do this thing
where
I
hit the ball. Right, it's the worst.
That's kind of like the important part. But like my wrist like kind of turns out right at the end, like as soon as I'm about to connect. And so they were able to slow down the video and show me that I do that. So then I had to be more conscious of like my wrist the entire. It's just so stuff. It's like, yeah, I've been golfing for years and years, and then you like one little 15-minute lesson, and I was hitting them really well after that.
Yeah, you're
so crazy.
Yeah, and then you have other stuff like home run derby and zombie dodgeball, which our crew, we had four crew members there and we all played at the end. And I think there's a shot of it in the show, and you can especially see me because I'm 8 months pregnant at the time.
Yes, I remember.
And it looks really funny.
Yeah. And isn't that kind of an evil game? Because it was like never ending. Like you never actually, from what I remember, well, in my mind, it seemed like it went on forever. Like you could never actually kill the zombie. So what I'm saying is it's a very good workout. You're just like, you're constantly.
I'm surprised I didn't go into
labor. Are we describing it well? Can like people understand? Does this make sense what we're saying? It's basically.
I mean, I saw it.
Oh, you saw it on the show. So it's like this golf. It's like the same, you know, I was using a golf simulator, but then there's a screen where they have like these zombies coming at you and you have to like chuck these balls at the zombies and kill them.
And I think we were too close to the screen. So like they weren't.
We were trying to cheat. Yeah. I do remember that. Yeah, I'm not above that. Didn't work though. Backfired.
Yeah, it was really fun though. Yeah,
my gosh.
Definitely a highlight.
I know. Beloit is where it's at. I'm telling you.
You can go to a Snappers game in the summer, too.
Oh, you did that. That was fun.
Not in the show. But I did do that. I have been there.
I'm thinking of a different Kenosha episode. Kenosha Kingfish.
Oh, yeah. That's the one where I knocked that 15-year-old kid. Yeah.
That was hilarious.
But the Snapper, I mean, they're minor league single-A baseball.
Those are fun.
And that is a blast. And they play kind of on the northeast side of town, but I know they were kind of... They're eyeing up the possibility of a new stadium down there, too.
I heard that, too.
And they want to bring it downtown. You know, they're really making a very, very full downtown with everything from, you know, living to ballparks to all the restaurants and the tech companies.
Yeah, it's kind of a tech hub. People don't realize that.
It's a tech hub and it's a logistics hub. I mean, it's really a robust city now.
That's the Silicon Valley of Wisconsin.
Oh, that's their tagline.
Wow.
That's their new tagline. Just kidding, it's not, but maybe it could be.
It's a tall order.
Sure.
Except housing there is affordable.
So what are some of the challenges that came with filming this episode that you remember?
The skydiving piece, I think, has been well
documented. Honestly, that probably was the most anxiety kind of, during this shoot, but that was just me. It ended up being a really fun shoot. Yeah. So, other challenges, well, like I mentioned, I was very pregnant during the end of filming this episode. So unfortunately, I wasn't able to go on some of the shoots. We went on a kayaking excursion with Paddle Adventure Club.
I cannot believe how active you were in general. Like, she was 8 months pregnant. Like, I remember I had videos on my stories from when we were filming, I think in Menominee, and you like had a camera in your hand and everything, and you were just like days away from giving birth.
I went as long as I could, but but filming in a kayak, I thought I should probably sit that one out.
Yeah,
so I didn't get to go on that one, but that ended up being super fun too. Yeah, I can't really think of any other challenges.
Any major challenges?
Yeah. We had lots of great shoots, great weather, great food.
Excellent. Well, and that airs this coming weekend.
Yep.
So
this airs February 22nd.
Is there anything specifically you really want us to look for in the show? I know we talked about a lot of it. Any kind of favorite parts or moments for you?
Maybe just keep an eye on, we went to some really fun events. I know BIFF, the Beloit International Film Festival, is happening this week, but... they do it every year. It's a really great opportunity to go support and check out local artists, local film. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Cool.
And this episode is airing there, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, is that something that's
it's
open
premiering.
To the public?
Yeah.
Yes, question
it
mark?
Is. Yep.
Okay, well, great.
It's a TV show and not a film.
I can confirm it is open to the public.
So go check out this episode and Beloit International Film Festival.
So if you're listening to this
the same time
it airs, you can catch a early premiere, a sneak peek of it on Friday night. Yes. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, if you're watching after, I need to get used to podcast language. If you're listening to this a little later, then you can stream the show now on YouTube or discoverwisconsin.com.
And
like
all the other things,
comment
like Roku
on it,
and Amazon,
share
and
it,
Google and all that, yeah.
And actually, I'll also give a quick shout out to Alana, a really adorable little girl featured in the Beloit Dirty Dash section of this show. Her grandpa called me and he wanted to know if she was going to be included in the show and when it was going to air and all that. And
they're going to have a big premiere.
Totally
party,
is, yeah.
Yeah. She's covered,
in mud. It's so cute. So
you are the queen. Well, I always say that she's the queen of getting like cute kid moments in the show.
I do like cute kid moments.
Yeah, they're the best. Well, thank you, Jess.
Yeah,
thanks,
it was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
All right, there she goes.
And now, the time has come for Wisconsin in 72. If you're new to the podcast, no worries, I'll explain. In just 72 seconds, I'm going to see how many events I can cover. And these are great events to check out this weekend. And the 72 is, of course, referencing the fact that we have 72 counties in the state of Wisconsin.
Whoa.
Wow, mind blown.
Dude.
We're so creative.
Yes.
Audio Dave, hit the music. I'm ready.
Right.
Let's kick things off with the Janesville Flannel Fest Craft Beer Experience. Yes, you heard me right. A sea of flannel and tons of craft beer. This outdoor winter event offers craft beer sampling, a home brewing competition, a 0.1K fun run, games, food vendors, and more. This is an outdoor event, but don't worry, the tents are heated. Next up is the American Birkebeiner Cross Country Ski Event in Hayward. This is North America's largest and most prestigious cross country ski marathon. More than 12,000 skiers of all ages come together to participate in this amazing race. There are tons of options for every type of skier. There's a 50K, a 55K, a 29K, and even a 15K. Even if you're not participating, this event is a spectacle to see. If you're interested in checking out the best high school swimmers and divers in the state, then you're in luck. This weekend is the WIAA State Boys Swimming and Diving Meet taking place in Madison. Top athletes, many of which are preparing to compete at the NCAA level, will be swimming their fastest for that state championship title. Rounding things out on this weekend's events is Women's Wellness Day in New London. Bring your sister, mother, daughters, girlfriends, and take part in a variety of wellness activities, shopping, insightful speakers, and more, all with the focus on boosting women's health and happiness. Attendees are welcome to attend breakfast, breakout sessions, and tons of exhibits and demos. Don't miss out. The event kicks off at 8 a.m. on Saturday.
Well done.
Wow. Wow, perfect.
That was great timing.
Wrapping
it up.
I think
you're taking the trophy back from Eric from last week.
She did better than me the time. Yeah. So far, you've done it better than me both times.
I practice every night.
You get a chance next week.
Next episode, I'll try and match your.
On my way to work, I just like ramble through as many events as I can. Like, I will beat Eric. Oh, I whispered. Sorry.
She has. She has beaten me. This is a great time to leave a review, by the way, especially based on Mariah's performance here. We're getting ready to wrap things up for this episode of The Cabin, but make sure you leave that review, preferably 5-star. We like those. And let us know what kinds of topics you're interested in hearing more about. We've already gotten some great feedback, and we look forward to covering all those great topics
with people. Thanks for the love, people. Thanks for tuning in to another week of The Cabin by Discover Wisconsin. Next Tuesday, we're going all the way back to the start to talk about the history of Discover Wisconsin. I am really excited about this one, as well as some of our favorite and cheesiest restaurants across the state. Today's episode of The Cabin was hosted by me, Mariah Haberman, Eric Paulson, and Dave Janis. Produced by me, Ellen Fallon, and Dave Janis. Tune in next week for more campfire conversations and insight into the world of Discover Wisconsin. The Cabin is a production brought to you by Discover Media Works. To learn more, head to discovermediaworks.com. And don't forget to leave us a review.
And now here's this week's Know Your Wisconsin.
Over the last 30 years, more and more women have been elected to government positions across the state of Wisconsin. In 2019, the percentage of female judges on the Wisconsin Circuit Court increased to 27%. That's an increase of 7% in 2 years, making this the fastest growing elected office for women.
Now we're seeing more women as mayors and city councils, county boards, which is a great feeder for women in the legislature. And I just looked at women on the circuit court. I was seeing so many women running. More than 1 in 4 seats now in the circuit court are held by women. And I see them in all kinds of races against incumbents.
Yet Wisconsin still lags behind many states in women elected to public office. The Wisconsin Women's Council, consisting of 15 members appointed by the governor and legislative leaders, was created in 1983 to promote initiatives to empower women.
This is a great time now to talk about what's the work that's still to be done to empower women and all communities to vote, to be out there, to engage in their communities, to engage in the leadership they want to see in their communities or in their states. There's a lot of research that talks about some of the barriers to women wanting to run or even thinking they should run. And one is that women need to be asked, and need to be asked more than once often.
And it's not just about female representation in elected positions. It's about grooming the next generation of grassroots leadership.
Women are getting trained to work on campaigns, to run campaigns, whether it's fundraising or doing doors or just understanding what the process and the budget are about, they're ready to run. You see young people really coming out as leaders and being really active right now. And I think young women are very empowered for possibly a future in elected office or local leadership.
And now you know your Wisconsin.